Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Stephen Gillette to the broadcast. Stephen's the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Symantec, a global security software company. In this role, Stephen's responsible for the corporate strategy as well as business segment management, including consumer, enterprise, commercial, public sector, and government segments. He also oversees IT, sales, and marketing operations, including the strategic direction for sales and marketing. Prior to joining Symantec, Stephen was president of Best Buy Digital, Global Marketing and Strategy. He was tasked with accelerating the transformation and growth agenda of Best Buy through the advancement of key global business units and core business capabilities. Prior to Best Buy, Stephen was executive vice president of Digital Ventures and chief information officer of Starbucks. Stephen holds a Bachelor of Science degree from the University of Oregon and an MBA from San Francisco State University. I recently caught up with Stephen in his office in Silicon Valley, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed Stephen's career progression to become the CIO and ultimately the COO of a major corporation, Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as Stephen discussed his experience in driving innovation at several companies and taking on strategic responsibilities within the CIO role, among a variety of other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Example of both of the trends that I've been covering recently, both the CIO plus role, especially at your time in Starbucks, and then from your time at Best Buy as well as Symantec now beyond the CIO role. And I thought I would actually begin earlier in your career. I mean, you're obviously still very young and were very young when you first became CIO. And I wanted to actually go back to the earlier stages as to how the idea of becoming a CIO kind of entered into your mind. When did that become a goal for you? And what were some of those things that set you down that path to rather rapidly become a chief information officer?
I started off in IT as a equivalent of the geek support kid at Office Depot in the 90s, doing home installs and fixing people's computers and making sure they can dial up with AOL and back in those days. And then I kind of went through that into my first IT job working as an IT coordinator at a hospital. And from there, had a career in IT all the way up to my first CIO job at Corvus in 2006, I believe, where I really moved into the CIO role. But that journey was working in all the different parts of IT along the way, from director of information and security to network operator to VP of IT, and kind of work application development, engineering, some of the operational pieces of it. And the natural career momentum and the career ladder for that was to be a CIO. So I never woke up one day and said, hey, I want to be a CIO. It was more natural progression of my career from starting at the help desk all the way up to the first CIO job. And while I was more interested in learning and engaging in other parts of IT, for example, going from network to infrastructure or from infrastructure to engineering, it was more adding those exposures to the different areas out of curiosity and technical curiosity than it was checking any boxes to be CIO. And so when the opportunity presented itself at Corvus, it was a natural next step to say, can I take everything I've learned over the last decade and really apply it into the CIO job? And that was my first foray into it.
Along the way, you also got an MBA, which it turns out is quite the common denominator among people who are both these CIO pluses as well as beyond CIOs, those two categories again. What was it that occurred to you to get the MBA? And also, was it something that you did while working?
Yes. So what happened was I was the VP of IT at CNET, which is a web company here in San Francisco, now owned by CBS. It's CBS Interactive now. And when I hit the VP level, I started to realize that a majority of what I was spending my time on was organizational design, interactions with the CFO on budgeting, interactions with the CIO and forecasting and modeling and personnel and leadership development. And while I still led the IT organization as the VP of IT, I was spending more of my time relying on a part of my skill set that I hadn't formally trained. It was just my instinct and my experiences, but I started to increasingly feel a need that, you know, I really need to be able to go in with that CFO and talk about financial statements and the balance sheet and leasing schedules and discount rates and cash flow and all the different things that IT was impacting, less so that I needed to go in and tell him what the latest virtualization technology was or what our new outsourcing strategy should be. They assumed IT had that. And so after a couple of years of encountering more and more on that part of my skill set, I decided that I wanted to go and refine that and formalize that education so I could talk with confidence and talk with authority and talk with a native tongue in the other parts of the business that leadership role in IT needed to do. And so I picked the local school at the time, which was San Francisco State. And while working Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, and all day Saturday for 2 years, I finished my MBA.
Incredible. It certainly speaks volumes to your willingness to encounter a little bit of hardship in order to accomplish some goals. Why don't we move over to your experience in Starbucks? Obviously, your time at Starbucks was a very meaningful part of your career. And what's so interesting about that is going from CIO to and then enhancing your role to be this CIO plus, the EVP of Digital Ventures. I imagine, although correct me if I'm wrong, that when you joined Starbucks, the whole notion of it being a digital company to any dramatic degree was probably most in its infancy. Can you talk about that transformation that you oversaw and were a part of in going from a company that was primarily a place that people went to get their fix of caffeinated beverages to thinking about it more broadly as a technology platform as well?
So when Starbucks first called me up, I was at Corvus, I was a CIO, I was dealing with Bill Gates every month. I was kind of in IT happy land. I mean, I had a great job in a great city. And I get to work with every month, like, the founder of our industry, like one of them, Bill Gates. So I was in a really good spot on so many dimensions. And when Starbucks called, it was in context. In late 2007, the founder and chairman was announcing his return as CEO. And he was putting together an executive team that was going to be a part of that. So I joined shortly after he came back on board as part of the original seven executives or eight. I don't remember the exact amount at the time, but I joined reporting directly to him. And it was a very interesting interview cycle because, like you said in the beginning, I had a really good background, a really diverse set of technology experiences. I came from Silicon Valley, but, you know, I was 31 years old. And this is a Fortune 500 big global company. And I'm not a retail expert either. And nor was I a black belt in coffee. So the CEO at the time, Howard, you know, we had a discussion during the interview process, and he asked me a question about what do you see when you walk into a Starbucks? You know, on top of the things everyone else saw, the community table, the smell of coffee, the green apron, the rich history, the community table, all that, I saw a whole different dimension as well. I saw laptops and iPhones and I saw a Wi-Fi and I saw a 30-something barista and a 20-something store manager, and I saw people that had a what we called the third place. So between home and work, they were hanging out there. They were being a part of that community. So I joined in 2008 as part of that leadership team, and I'm quickly tasked with starting to think differently and reimagine, and as Howard said, it turn it on its head in the way we're thinking about what this company can be. And so as a part of that, you start to explore, and one of the things I talked about at the time was big internet where I came from and big software where I came from had innovated and solved a lot of the problems that big retail had yet to solve. And so it was really a transfer of my learnings at CNET and Yahoo, working for Bill Gates at Corbis, and saying, how can we reimagine what this platform could be? And what if we brought context and experiences above and beyond the transfer of goods, coffee or food? And we started to explore those edges and really innovate, as you know, and everything from Wi-Fi to social media to mobile payments to all the different things that we launched in that period. But that was from a permission to be curious from Howard and a really strong support structure to explore the edge of what our business can do by using our size for good and using our size to differentiate.
And I remember actually the first time I ever saw an article about you was from relatively early in your tenure, and there was a picture of you behind the counter at a Starbucks. And I don't know if that was typically the training process there, but you clearly were learning the business from you know, the ground up, is so that you could get sort of a fuller sense in an industry that was relatively new to you. Is that right?
Yeah, I realized quickly that I was going to be working at a scale and making decisions at a scale that I had yet to experience in my career. And I think at the time I was the average age of a store manager at Starbucks. So I realized if I was going to make decisions that impact hundreds of thousands of people and tens of thousands of these store managers and millions of customers, I would be hard-pressed not to put myself in their shoes for a period of time to really understand what it is they deal with every day. And so I just asked, I lived right down the street from the store, and so I went and asked the store manager if he'd mind if I worked a couple weeks as a barista.
You oversaw and were very much a part of this new way of thinking about the organization and more creatively thinking about, frankly, the CIO's role and the role of technology in a firm where it hadn't necessarily been thought of in that way. And this obviously leads you to bigger responsibilities still. I thought we'd at least briefly touch on your time at Best Buy, which was your first beyond CIO role there as EVP and president of Best Buy Digital, as well as global marketing and strategy. Can you talk a bit about this breadth of responsibilities and what was it about your time at Starbucks that prepared you for such a broad set of roles?
So as I did that immersion with Starbucks and started to bring those experiences to life, we realized that we needed to house that in a non-traditional part of the organization. Which then I took my MBA, as you put it, and I actually created a business plan as CIO to say, how do we incubate and innovate? And how do we operationalize the part of the organization that's going to help think and reimagine what that can be? Presented that business plan to the CFO, asked for a Series A round of funding internally, and got Digital Ventures funded. And I think that's the tie-off of that piece, which became the CIO plus stuff that you were talking about, because Digital Ventures ended up having entertainment and music and payments and mobile and all that stuff that the press really enjoyed. They didn't ask me much about our wonderful ERP implementation or our new labor scheduling program, which fundamentally changed the company, but they did care a lot about Wi-Fi and payments and all that consumer-facing stuff, which is also important.
Let me continue to tie that off because I think that's so interesting. Was the thought of creating sort of a different segment of the organization a reflection of the need to do things differently in this kind of a business?
What I'd found was digital as a discipline has, up until that point, was either a part of IT or tech, or it was a part of marketing. And when you started to look at digital as a transformational agent for a company asking for transformation, digital became part business unit, part enabling function, part innovative thought partner, part internally focused, part external, part partner based, and it started to play all the different roles that used to be very easy to understand the edges. IT and marketing, you pretty much know the end and where that begins and starts. Finance and IT, you got it. Sales and marketing, you get it. But digital started to play a role where the edge of it looked like an amoeba. In some points, it was playing an advisor. How do we better connect with our employees? At some point, it was an innovation partner. How do we totally disrupt the store experience and think in new ways? At some point, it was a capability. How do we go develop a mobile app so people can change schedules so they, when they call sick or not? And as I started to see it shape to play the identity of many of the roles, I realized organizationally to try and house that in IT or marketing, it was too big for that. It had evolved to require its own business plan and its own organizational structure.
And in assembling a team, did you draw from the various disciplines you've just described?
In the beginning, I did, but the biggest thing I wanted to do was I did a blog entry on this. It was called Hiring to My Weakness. So I needed to say, okay, as CIO and as MBA, what am I really skilled at doing, and what are big open weaknesses in my experience set? And what I found was, because, as Jack Wolf said, building something new inside of something old is quite fun and exciting, I wanted to go find someone who was an entrepreneur, who started a company, who wrote a business plan, who grew it to $100 million. And so my first hire in Digital Ventures was the hire to my weakness in that former CEO. And he wrote a great article, which we should send you, called What I Learned as a CEO Working for a CIO. And it got quite the fanfare.
That does, in fact, take us really nicely as a bridge over to your new set of responsibilities at Best Buy. Again, the EVP and president of Best Buy Digital, as well as global marketing and strategy. Can you talk a bit about the translation from one retail setting to another and now this continued augmentation of responsibility?
Yeah, so it was, the roles at Best Buy were marketing, IT, strategy, supply chain, store development, corporate M&A and corp development, customer experience. So it was a broad set of groups. I'll give you the exact list if you're looking for that. Entertainment. And so what happened was, so the decision was made. We did the first 4.5 years or so of the transformation. Howard wrote a book on it, wonderfully life experience, changed my world professionally, personally, emotionally. It was a wonderful experience. But I'm still the technology guy at a coffee company, right? And so what I wanted to do was, in the next step, how do I go from, because even with digital ventures, IT was the earth and digital ventures was the moon. Meaning all the great consumer-facing, interactive, P&L experience, web, all that stuff was still small compared to the primary job, which was IT. And so my goal wasn't to leave Starbucks to go be the president at Best Buy. My goal was to say, how do I reverse the polarity of what is in the earth and what is in the moon? And so I was looking for an opportunity to say, how do I still stay close to IT and do tech and do all the things that I learned over the last 15 or so years, but put in the core of it leading all the things that I felt were emerging in digital ventures, business management, marketing, strategy, corp development, partnerships, innovation, all that stuff. And the Best Buy opportunity was that reversal of the polarity. It was saying, we're going to now take everything that you've learned as CIO and honor that and promote that and help us transform the business by doing that. But we really want you to think primarily in the other realm of, how do you completely transform our business? And by the way, it's right up the alley of what you do as a individual too. It's consumer, it's tech, it's mobile, it's dealing with blue shirts instead of baristas, so you understand that scale. And how do we reimagine what that can be and what it should be and what its role is? And so that was the reversal of the polarity of what the CIO's DV was to basically DV and IT. So DV became the core and IT became the moon, and that was quite a powerful synergy because it allowed us to put the strategy together in the first, 100 days to really reshape how that company is thinking about what its role is.
That's great. I'm curious, actually, the strategy role that was actually part of your title even. The average CIO is much more comfortable with tactics than he or she is with strategy. And obviously, as you pointed out early on, you thought a little bit differently about the way in which you would attack the CIO role, as you, suggested even with your examples of getting the MBA and being able to speak the language of finance with the CFO, for instance, and be able to communicate value of IT, not just cost of IT. Can you talk a little bit about your own thought process and perhaps how it has evolved from CIO now to much larger responsibilities in terms of the development of strategy from the IT post?
Yeah, I think that, it really roots back into the early days in the Starbucks, which transcended right through Best Buy and even here to Symantec. We went through an exercise in early 2008 as part of the transformation where the CEO encouraged us to think outside of the box. He said, I want you all to think outside of the box, look for new ways to think about our business, look for new opportunities, and was very open about giving us a broad mandate to basically weigh into each other's business is how I look at it in retrospect, in a very productive way. And I found that anytime I got to drift outside of being the CIO, where I naturally found myself is in the marketing strategy, go-to-market transformational part of the company. And anytime I got the permission or the audience or the partnership to do that, that's where I didn't end up in finance. I didn't end up in operations. I ended up in the, how do you take the operations of a business and transform the role it plays in the marketplace? And so when you look at the segment, I wasn't ever going to go out and redefine the coffee acquisition strategy for the company. I wasn't ever going to go to a farm in Guatemala and, reach into the soil and the dirt and smell it and tell you the nitrate and nitrate. That wasn't me. They had people that did that. But at Best Buy, so now if you fast forward that way of thinking, when you're going to go and completely reimagine a brand, an offering, a go-to-market, the convergence of what my passion is, technology, go-to-market, IT, gaming, entertainment, all that stuff that I am, it actually is a force multiplier to be in that situation with Best Buy because that is their business. And so what that connection did was allow me to take my natural instincts, both learned and trained and passion in terms of hobby, and amplify that in a market and a company that was looking to utilize every dimension of that because it was their business end to end. And so that's how it got pulled together. And I think I was just wired that way. As some CIOs, I remember Gartner or CIO Magazine did, there's three types of CIOs, if you remember that from a few years ago. It's like I'm more of the innovative, strategic, transformational one, but they all have the same plumbing in terms of they got to still be able to do good IT. And I think in a huge important point in the Starbucks transformation and the Best Buy experience is the only reason the organization gave me any kind of permission to do digital ventures was that we did good IT first. Because if I was out trying to do, mobile payments and we couldn't take orders or we couldn't get internet access or we didn't have a labor system, that would have fell flat in the face. So in your CIO plus narrative, doing good IT first is probably the biggest advice I would give to a CIO.
Great. You're obviously now 4 months into your role as COO of Symantec, and I wonder if you can talk a bit about the experience thus far. You're obviously now outside of your first 90 days, first 100 days. What have you done? How have you planned? What are your priorities in the foreseeable future?
So the COO role, which is new, although the role at Best Buy was very similar in terms of scope, we called it something different. But the role here is now the next step in that. It's saying, how do you take all the experiences that you've learned and where your skills and the company needs meet, unlock that, think in new ways. And the CEO, Steve Bennett, who was named in July, is a part of thinking that. So he's saying, okay, we're going to reimagine the organization and what it could be, the capturing of that in Symantec's 4.0 strategy. So that's what we call it internally, Symantec's 4.0 strategy. How do we bring together a team that can represent the aspiration of what this company could transform to become? And the way he has structured that is, and the part that I lead as COO is really trying to infuse that element of the business with the same characteristics, both good operations, so taking our licensing, taking our security offering, taking our marketing, our IT, our e-business, taking our segment leadership for sales and marketing and all those different things, and not just organizationally put it under someone, but by design and by intent, bring in a kind of leader who can infuse that way of thinking with the same properties that we talked about for both Best Buy and Starbucks. And I think that's what the role is designed to do, and then partner strongly with him to learn and to be guided by all the elements that he brings as CEO. And then as my peers in the product engineering side and then the other functions like HR and legal to really then bring together an organization that is delivering that transformation. And so that's what the first 90 days has been, is about learning the 4.0 methodology, learning the leadership frameworks and the product offerings and the new go-to-market capabilities, understanding our channel and our segments. By the way, I'm a former customer, so I know the customer side, which helps. Again, not by any great design, but brings a tremendous amount of understanding to what it is when our primary customer was me, right? That helps. And then really seamlessly bringing that into a Symantec 4.0 strategy for what we believe is, again, one of the most exciting and biggest opportunities for a company to lead in, which is the security landscape and this information and data protection. So another area that I'm passionate about, much like with Best Buy, as a former CIO, is an area I naturally gravitate toward. If Starbucks was the initial experiment, Best Buy being the tuning of it with passion, business model, and experience, here is kind of the culmination of all three. You have the CIO experience, which is hugely relevant for a company whose target audience in the enterprise is CIOs, and understanding IT, understanding that dimension, and how that's changing and evolving, and what the aspirations of those teams are. You have business transformation, thinking in new ways, new market opportunities, new innovations, and speaking the language of finance and operations and strategy and all that is the second landscape. And then you have a passion for the product and industry is the third one. And so the first 90 days has been bringing that to bear in the 4.0 strategy to say, hey, we're going to not only be a great and effective and world-class center of excellence for all the key capabilities of our business, but we're going to also transform and innovate and reimagine what this company can be.
You talked about the advantage you have as a former customer to Symantec, and so there's a degree of empathy that you can provide actually in both directions now that you're on the other side of the table, so to speak, but also with that community. Do you plan to kind of engage existing and potential customers who are CIOs as formerly somebody who sat in their shoes?
Absolutely. I think we are, by the way, we are still a customer here. Our CIO, who's a great guy, Marty Hodgett, who reports to me, and we are customer one. So we're consuming our products. We're consuming our technologies as well. So I still feel like I'm a customer. But yes, absolutely. As a former member of the CIO ranks, I have deep and intimate and very transparent relationships with a lot of the CIOs in industry. So I will always bring that to bear. I don't think I'm going to be, I'm not a sales guy and I'm not a, but as we develop our go-to-market plan, as we look at our operations, as we look at partnerships, as we seek to understand the changing landscape of IT, I think it helps tremendously to be from that world and use the relationships in that world, but not for transactions and for selling, but for really understanding and being on that journey with how corporate IT is changing and evolving.
How do you, as a former CIO, do you suppose that your interaction with a CIO, both current at Symantec as well as in Best Buy, is your relationship a bit different than the typical COO who did not have that experience?
I don't know. I haven't been a COO without that experience. But as a CIO, when I met COOs, I didn't have a natural connection to them in any of the experiences as CIO, other than as a peer and a fellow executive in the camaraderie of that. If I was a CIO who ran into, like the COO at Microsoft was a former CIO at Walmart, KT. So KT brought a much more intimate connection with you as a CIO because like a college alumni, like once you have that ring, right, there's a little bit tighter handshake, right? And you know that you're not starting from a position of, does he understand or does she understand my world? You start off with a camaraderie. And I think that's how I feel. See, we talk a different, no, I think when I meet a CIO now, the fact that they know I was in IT for most of my career and that I was a CIO, I think helps in the fidelity of the discussion. And I can only say that from when I would encounter COOs that had that same background, which are few. I mean, I could name one, which is KT. There may be more, but I couldn't name any else.
Are there any other bits of advice that you would offer to existing CIOs or maybe even VPs of IT who would aspire to walk in your footsteps and have a grander set of responsibilities some time down the road? You've already offered, I think, a lot of really important advice in terms of making sure you are a CIO first and foremost before you start to, and getting all of the responsibilities there correct before suggesting augmenting your role. But are there any other things as you reflect back upon this journey that we've just been discussing that you think offer some additional nuggets for those who would aspire to do the same?
The way I would answer that, if there's a room of VP of IT type leaders, is I would say, if I had to distill it down into one word, I would say you have to be curious as an IT professional. And oftentimes, as an IT professional, you're trained because you're smart and you have good experience and you know your discipline, you're skilled in the art, that you're the first, at least I was, the first voice in why something can't be done. Because you're so smart in why all the difficulties. And I think reverse that. Look for a way to say, we're going to be a division or a department that is curious about the edge of what it is our business can do and is comfortable taking one or two steps over that barrier. And I think curiosity is a huge dimension of moving forward. The other thing I would say to that group is you have to understand that the convergence of things that are important to your business, in my opinion, inevitably over the next 5 to 10 years, is increasingly going to be technology in nature, technical in nature, meaning every part of our businesses, HR, finance, operations, sales, R&D, strategy, marketing, are converging with the discipline that you've led for the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, wherever you are in your journey. And the more you can understand how that convergence is happening, and the more you can steward that change into your organization, the more you're going to not only equip IT to do IT right, but you're going to start to be sought after as that innovation partner, as that strategic partner, and not just the highest ranking IT guy or gal in the company. And the more you can embrace that, the faster I believe you can realize your career aspirations. And so I would say those are the two things. And in that landscape of the convergence, HR wants talent acquisition and learning management, but there's a whole bunch of things, and that's why I'm so excited about Symantec, because in all of that, that security and information convergent is touching every part of that company as well. And I think that's the way you should be thinking of your career development as your IT professional, that you have to put the energy into understanding that and embracing it and in many ways stewarding it.
Makes sense. Makes very good sense. I wanted to also ask you about trends. As you mentioned, there are so many trends, business trends that have technology at their core these days. Are there some that we haven't already spoken about that particularly excites you as you look a year or two or three down the road?
I think the trends for IT, there's two modes to it. One is trends happening that IT needs to be aware of. the big data stuff, the cloud platform, the information protection, security, compliance, innovation, all the things that we read about and we digest from all the different sources, both internal and external to your company. But there's a more important, in my opinion, trend happening with corporate IT. And it's that I believe the last 2 or 3 years and the next 5 or 6 years that IT itself is going through a dramatic transformation. And I think more and more CIOs that I talk to and that I know are embracing that to say, how do we change the very mandate and charter by which we operate in the organization? Are we the back office, deliver the programs, keep the dial tone, thinking type organization? Are we truly seeking out to understand our business? And from a technology, which I think is unique, a technology IT-driven perspective, looking for ways for this company to participate in, let's say, blue oceans, right? New opportunities. And as much as the trend line is changing from big data to the IT to payments to employee data to security and all the things we care about, the real transformation that's happening at the same time is what the role of IT is in the enterprise and what the role of the CIO is in shaping that role of IT. Those are the converging streams, both in the technology and in the shaping of IT, that we're going to see emerge that new generation of CIO leader.
Well, good. We've covered a lot of stuff here, and it's a great conversation, certainly, Stephen. I appreciate you sharing all of these perspectives. Are there any other topics you would want to raise that haven't naturally come out of the conversation?
There's two things I think are important. One is that work-life balance in there, too. So the fact that we've done all this as CIOs, I have 5 young kids, married to my high school sweetheart, so none of these activities should come at the cost of not having an end-to-end 360 view of your career. So I'd be saying that to that room as well. Meaning, as you focus on your career, as you seek to, as you get your MBA, as you refine yourself, like look at this end-to-end, not just your work and your life, but these are one and of the same. So I think that would be one other piece that may give the piece a good human touch to it, because I believe at the end, to be successful in that CIO transformation, you have to be successful in your overall humanity of your transformation. That includes all of that. The other thing I think is important, I touched on it lightly, is understand the landscape. Understand the kinds of trends and frontiers and surface area that is touching your business in new ways. I happen to live in the middle of what I believe is the most important one, with security and information, but there are others out there as well, depending on your business. And so understand what those are and be clear about talking about that when you do IT town halls in your company, when you hire talent, and when you do leadership training. Make sure that your teams are talking with the same way that you're talking about as CIO, and get everyone talking in that direction, not just the top person. I think those would be the two elements I would add.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much.
All right, sir. Thank you.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat believes in the power of openness and shared knowledge to transform how we all do business. Learn more at redhat.com. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' 5 principles of World Class IT. The 5 principles are as follows. Principle 1 is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The 2nd principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The 3rd principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The 4th principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important then that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. Our editors are Chris Davis and Callahan Cool, and our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. Our editors are Chris Davis and Calhan Cool, and our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.